Good morning and welcome to Bridge City Church North Braddock this morning. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is John and I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church North Braddock, and it is my distinct privilege and honor to be with you this morning and get an opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning as we're continuing on in our series called What's the Point? But before we get to that, last week I had mentioned from this stage about a contest that was going to be taking place via our social media outlets, primarily Instagram, Facebook, and we also have our YouTube channel as well. But primarily on our Instagram and Facebook, we were doing a contest where if you liked, shared, followed, did whatever it was in there, you had an opportunity to win a gift card for what we were calling a date night. And considering that the message this morning is what's the point of marriage or what's the point of relationships, it just seemed fitting for us to announce that winner here today. And so Bethany Dickerson, right over there, come on down. Bethany's coming. Her husband, Ben, was like, I just played guitar. You go get it yourself. But Bethany has won, and it's awesome that Bethany is in the room with us right now, because if you don't know this, Bethany is our kids coordinator, our kids admin. So she oversees and operates all of our kids ministry. That's our nursery, ages 4 and under, and our medium age class, like 4 through second grade, and then we have a third through fifth grade class, and she oversees all that. She also runs, she is our nursery team lead, and so I'm excited because just their faithfulness and their heart, and now Ben has no excuse to not take his wife on a date. So we're excited about that this morning. Relationships. What is the point? Right? Some of you might be sitting here right now and even asking yourself that, or spent a significant portion of your week or some of your last several months or this season of life that you're in wondering, what is the point of relationships? Right? What's the point of getting in one? What's the point of being in one? What's the point of staying in one? Right? These are things that dominate our thoughts from time to time. And really, you know, even beyond that, from a biblical Christian perspective, you know, when we talk about relationships and marriage, and I'm a big believer that male-female relationships should have as their ultimate end goal in mind, marriage, at the end of the day, lifelong covenantal marriage. But some of you might have come in here today and been like, why even get married? Like, you know, back whenever I was a younger man, before I was saved, I didn't believe in marriage. I just thought it was a paper. I thought as long as you were doing, you know, basically like, you know, you could have a girlfriend, you live together, and you're providing, you're playing house, and you have kids. I'm like, what's the point of having the paper? It's just a man-made legality is what I thought. And then I got saved and transformed, and the word of God began to start forming my opinion on everything, specifically relationships. And I'm glad that it did, because unfortunately for me, the first wedding that I ever attended in my life was my own wedding at the age of 30. Because I didn't grow up in an environment or a culture that really celebrated marriage, or I didn't know people that were getting married. And so you might be like, well, what's the point of even getting married? Or how about this? Why does marriage have to be one man and one woman? Why can't it be one guy and multiple women? Look, I have a hard enough time caring for the one, because she is awesome. But, or why can't it be like two guys, or why can't it be two, like what's the point of that? Or how about this? Like, why does it have to be for the rest of your life? Like, what if we just get tired of each other? Like what's the point? And so this morning we're gonna talk about, from a biblical perspective, of what's the point of not just marriage, but ultimately relationships. Because like I said, like, look, I know Everybody in here has a relationship status. Married, single, engaged. It's complicated. And so whether you're married or not married or used to be married or want to be married or married again or have no desire to get married, I want you to lean in this morning so that we can get an understanding of why relationships are important, especially to God. And so the first reason that I would submit to you this morning why relationships are so important is this, is because they are the building block of society. I want you to process this for a minute. Society does not exist without man, woman, male, female, amorous relationship. Because babies don't spring out of nothing. There's no stork that's dropping them off, right? It takes a man being with a woman sexually to produce more humans. And so fundamentally speaking, relationships are actually the foundation of society, because society doesn't exist without relationships. But as you search the scriptures and as you get to know your heavenly Father, the one who not just created relationships, but created marriage and created that fun part that's supposed to come after marriage, that S word, we got some young ones in here, but come on, somebody. Yeah. The Bible says, Proverbs 18, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor from the Lord. Yes, God, I'm gonna preach to myself today. But as we get to know God and get to know his word, we understand that relationships are intended by God to lead to marriage, which produces offspring, right? So even, you know, marriage and relationships has little to do with self-satisfaction or personal gratification. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have some really off thoughts that lead to unhealthy relationships in our society and culture today. And remember, the propagation of the human race is very important to God, because we're image bearers, and the Bible says he wants the whole earth to be full of his glory, to be full of his image. And so the propagation of the human race, which is only humanly possible by male seed and female egg. This doesn't make it. This doesn't make it. Look, this isn't about something's ickier. Heterosexual sin is just as icky and sinful to God as homosexual sin is. It's not about that. It's about life can only be produced one way. And so it's very important to God, because it's a building block of human society on a fundamental level. But also, here's another reality, and secular scientists will tell you this. Non-saved, non-Christian scientists will tell you that the key and core element of human society isn't the government, it's the family. It's the man, woman producing offspring. That is the core element. That is the key to a flourishing human society, because as the family goes, society goes. Another reason why it's important is because it's literally one of the first things that God blessed in all of creation. Genesis chapter 1, 6 days of creation. At the end of each day, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. On the sixth day, it's very good. But nothing got a blessing yet until God created man and woman. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says this, and God blessed them. Who's them? Man and woman, right? The male-female marital relationship is the first thing in creation that God blessed. It's important. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And I would suggest to you this morning that maybe the reason why we as a people are lacking the desired dominion over the, world or in our own life, right? How many of us would like to have dominion over our finances, dominion in our skill set? Is because that dominion is connected to the blessed marital relationship of God. Now hear me, I'm not saying you gotta be married to be in God's blessing, but you do have to understand that the first thing God blessed is the male-female human relationship. It also happens to be God's first command. Before he said, you shall not do this and you shall do this, he says, you shall be fruitful and you shall multiply, and there's only one way to do that. Actually, I love this because this is really the precursor for the Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. What is make disciples? That is making more little Christs. Jesus wants to see the earth not just full of his glory, but dominated by his glory by giving us dominion over it as his glorious image bearers. But one of the main and really cool things about why relationships and specifically marriage is so important is because, watch this, marriage reflects the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. This is right before he blesses it. It says, then God said, let us, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God, three persons, one God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. These are plural pronouns. And I know some of us get all worked up about pronouns. They're in the Bible. And let them, who's them? We're about to find out. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Watch this, verse 27. So God created man in his, went from plural to, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The plurality of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, is demonstrated in the plurality of the human dyad, man and woman. You could actually make the case that the true image of God is not just us individually, but actually man and woman together to glorify and demonstrate and reflect God's image in the earth. This is why God so vehemently defends the sanctity of marriage, because it is a representation of who he is. Listen to me. I have had the privilege this year alone to walk through pre-marriage counseling with four couples, one of them being my own son. And I'll be honest with you, my son did it the way that I actually did it that produced him, and the way many of us still do it today, where it's just like, oh, we love each other, let's just buy a house. That's literally what he did. My son bought a house with a woman he wasn't even married with, and that's a whole different even. I'm like, bro, like, fundamentally speaking, when y'all break up, who gets the crib? Both y'all name on that thing. But see, the beauty of it is that when we walk through this process, it's not about doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Because you know what? I've had people come to me, and they like my oldest son, they have a child out of wedlock. God doesn't hate you. God isn't mad at you. God loves you. And if you let him, he can redeem that thing like he did in my own life. I want you to hear something. My son probably doesn't ever get married if God doesn't change my life. That's a game changer. But see, what God wants is a relationship that rightly reflects his image. Because here's one of the worst things you can do if you have a child with somebody that you're not married to. It actually could be the worst thing on planet Earth for y'all to get married. Now, I'm not saying that you should just not get married. I'm saying if y'all are not meant, if you're not, God has an ordained spouse. Look, if God values it this highly, hear me today. Do you think God has anointed so many people for singleness or unhealthy relationships? We would think that, though, wouldn't we? Our culture, our society would make us think that. And some of the reason I believe for that, we're going to talk about here in a minute, but nevertheless, man, God wants you in a relationship that honors him by reflecting his image. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So what is the point of marriage? First, we already talked about reflecting God's image. And that's, look, if that's the only reason to get, that's a big deal, right? How many of you, actually, my kids carry my last name. So that means when they go out into the earth, they represent me. They understand that. And there may be times where they don't represent me and their mom very well. And that's okay. We still love them. But nevertheless, we are going to correct it. Why? Because there will be people who never meet me that meet them and will base their opinion of me off of them. If Christians are God's children, maybe the reason that people have such an unfavorable view of God is because how we are representing his image in the earth. I'll just let that marinate. But God's image is an important big deal, right? How many of you feel excited when you're misrepresented? Somebody says something about you to a coworker, and that's not who you are. You're like, well, you know what? I just shucks howdy. I guess that's just okay. No, you get mad. You're calling me out my name. How dare you? How much more does God get frustrated when we don't represent him? But here's the thing. If healthy relationships that lead to marriage is one of the primary ways to reflect God's image and bring him glory, man, I want you to hear something today. If you're not in a relationship or wanting, man, God wants to bless you with that. This is something he desires, right? So we see that it reflects God's image. The second thing, and I love this, it releases God's potential. Not just in us individually, right? But God's potential awesomeness for the earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. Just to kind of get you up to speed, Genesis 2 follows Genesis 1. You're probably confused about that. Genesis 1 gives us a 30,000-foot overview of God creating everything. Genesis 2 gives us a zoom lens in on the primary, most important factors of that creation. So we see that God created the earth and no plant had yet sprung up because God didn't send rain. And watch this, there was no one to work the ground. See, sometimes, I'm just going to say this, it's a side note. But sometimes God doesn't bless us with relationships or jobs or blessings or fill in the blank because we're not yet ready to work the ground of that field. See, God's intentional. Verse 6, but streams or springs or mist, some translations say, came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed, like we just sang this morning, it's your breath in our lungs. We get this from this verse in Genesis chapter 2, where it says that, and God formed from the dust, that's why at funerals you might hear somebody say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. He formed us. Everything else he spoke, us, he got his hands dirty to craft us. That's a word right there. He got intimately involved. God doesn't even have hands, y'all. He's a spirit. But he formed us from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his, Adam's, man's nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Maybe you feel dead this morning because you don't have the breath of God in your lungs. And it's not that hard to get it. It's just about opening yourself up and saying, God, animate me. Verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. So I want you to catch this morning. God has a place for you. You know why so many of us are frustrated? Because we're trying to find our own place on our own abilities. Instead of just saying, God, where is the Eden you've prepared for me? Where's the ground? Where's the field that you prepared for me? And some of us, it's problematic for us because we want our field. I don't like this field. But God planted a garden in the east in Eden, watch this, and there he put the man he had formed. Jump down to verse 15 there in Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and care for it. I want you guys to hear this, especially men, because you were created first according to the order. That doesn't mean you're better, that just means you have more responsibility. We're going to see it in a minute. But man was given purpose before he was given relationship. Because relationship was never intended to be his purpose. Whew. See, some of us are defined by our relationships, aren't we? Well, I got to get married. I got to find a boyfriend. I got to find a girlfriend. I got to... It wears you out, don't it? Because man was never intended to have relationship as his purpose. However, relationship was necessary to fulfill his purpose. Because it goes on there in Genesis chapter 2, specifically in verse 18, and it says, well, actually, I'll catch you up to speed. So he puts him in the garden, right? And then it says he sent all the animals that he had created to Adam to name. And there's a powerful principle in that for the word that you speak. Proverbs talks about how life and the power of life and death is in the tongue, and whoever loves it eats of its fruit. Maybe the fruit you're eating is bad because the words you're speaking are bad. But it says that God sent all of the animals to Adam, and whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. Watch this. Because mankind in general, men specifically, have the power to attribute identity to the things God places in their path. I speak identity into my children. At our men's night this past night, me and Tyler, our Bridge City student coordinator, we were talking and, you know, I think you were talking about how Tobias says daddy, like his Tobias was, or was it at the ladies' night, because he was serving at the ladies' night. Tyler was the bouncer at the ladies' night. He did a great job. I didn't have to come in here and put my hands on nobody, so that was good. I kind of wanted to. I was in a mood on Tuesday. But we were talking about how, like, my son, like, daddy, and he's like, but I only ever hear you call him boy. And you know why I do that? Because the entire world, including the cartoons that if I'm not careful, he's going to see on the TV, are trying to tell him otherwise. I don't call him boy to diminish him. I call him boy to identify him. I call him son to identify him. And so all these animals get brought to Adam, and whatever Adam called it, that's what it was. But then God says something, but there was no suitable helper for Adam. Why? Because animals were living beings just like him. Animals were male and female. Funny how there's no trans animals. But even with female animals, they were opposite but two different. And so in Genesis chapter 2:18, God, it says, then God looked and said, it is not good for man to be alone. Remember Genesis 1, days 1 through 6? It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's very good. Now, for the first time in all creation, God sees something that is not good. And what's the is not goodness? Man being alone. Man not having a suitable helper, one that's like him but slightly different, to be a suitable helper. See, you cannot accomplish your purpose on your own. And that even transcends to the relational level of like friends and coworkers and networking. Nobody's ever accomplished anything great on their own. And if they tell you that they did, they're lying, and don't pay the money for the conference that they're talking at. But we need other people in our life. But see, God wants to unite us with a suitable helper to release his potential in our lives and in the world. Look, Romans 8:19 says the creation groans in eager expectation, awaiting for the sons and daughters of God to appear. There's God potential inside of us to make the earth amazing. But we need each other to do it. See, and this is why I believe some of us get hung up when we make relationships our purpose, right? Because a lot of times it's very tempting. We pursue relationships for personal fulfillment instead of God-ordained destiny fulfillment. This could shift your whole dating, mating approach. Instead of asking yourself, is he a good provider? Is he a nice guy? Does he look good with his shirt off? Does he look not too bad with his shirt off? Or asking yourself, look, Belle Biv DeVoe told us men, you can never trust a big butt and a smile. I'm gonna keep it real. You're too visually stimulated. You know why? Because at the end of Genesis chapter 2, when God brings, it says he took and he brought the woman to man the same way he took and brought the man to Eden. That when she showed up, naked and unashamed, Adam started prophesying. You say, what do you mean? Because prophecy can be forthtelling, speaking what God is saying in a now moment, or foretelling, speaking of something that hasn't yet happened. Adam starts to foretell, because Eve was so fine. My God, some of y'all dudes, y'all went to a bad place. Bring it back. Bring it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring it back. But he saw her, she was so fine, and he said, for this reason, ha ha! He probably had a little bit of black hoop in him too. He said, for this reason, a man shall leave who his father and his mother. Look, they were the only two humans. There weren't any fathers and mothers to leave. That's how you know he was foretelling, because he was about to change that by becoming the first father with the first mother. Are you feeling me this morning? See, God wants to bring someone to you that can release the potential in you so that together you can have dominion over the earth. I don't think God has anybody for me. That would reject the narrative that God wants you to be an overcomer. Now, there is in the Bible, in the New Testament, a spiritual gift of singleness, just like there's a spiritual gift of tongues, spiritual gift of prophecy, a spiritual gift of healings, right? There's all these different. There is a spiritual gift of singleness that Paul himself says he has. Paul never was in a relationship, never got married. I know I don't have that gift. And unless you have that gift, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not in a good, healthy, God-honoring relationship, man, God's got one for you. Or maybe the one that you're in that you're just like, I can't figure out how to make it work. Man, if you and him or you and her come under the covering and direction of God's word, you will begin to start cultivating one another's field so that fruit can be produced in a way that blesses the earth and blesses you. Because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, talks about how the hardworking farmer is the first to eat of the crop. God wants to bless the earth through you, but you get a little bit of it too. He wants to bless your life with relationships, because human flourishing is rooted in healthy relationships. That's why we, the church, fight so hard for a biblical sexual ethic. Not because we don't want people to have fun. We don't want people to go to hell, and we don't want people before they go to hell to feel, can I tell you, as excited as I am that my son got married, it's also heartbreaking to me because I know that my son did not reach the potential that he could if I would have done it God's way. He got better than he deserved, but me and Christy, Lily, Josiah, and Tobias, and even amongst them, they're getting better versions of me and Christine as we go down the line. But human flourishing is rooted in healthy relationships. That's why we fight for a biblical sexual ethic. Because like kinds can't reproduce. Because unhealthy heterosexual relationships hinder the purpose of God for your life. And we're not here. And I'm sorry if the church ever made you feel bad about having sex outside of wedlock. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But even if that was you, God can redeem it. Your pastor understands baby mama drama. I've lived it. And God redeemed it. But we have to fight for relationships, not just because one's bad, one's good, one's icky. No, because human flourishing, your offspring's flourishing depends upon it. And so we fight for it. Because whether it's the overbearing and domineering patriarchal approach where a man lords his authority over a woman, which the church used to espouse, and which most cultures around the world still do. Ever heard of Islam? I love how certain political factions denounce the misogyny and patriarchal hierarchy within Christianity, but they don't say boo to a Muslim. But whether it's that diminishing approach or whether it's this newly developed feminist girl boss, I don't need a man. Which not only has produced an unhealthy form of independence in women, because we need each other. But it's also created in our culture what I call truly toxic masculinity, where we have diminutive, effeminate men that reject responsibility in their life and reject authority in their life, rather than becoming the heads that God wants them to be, the leaders that God wants them to be. That's why when we talk about pro-life things and the abortion issue and all of those other things, I'm sick of the church beating women up for being in a place where they would have to make a decision like that, because a man's semen is what put them there. And if a man would just be a gosh darn man and look at a woman, even if she's throwing herself at him, and say, I would never denigrate a daughter of the king by such a way as having sex with you unless I was married to you. That's the man's responsibility. Say no. It's hard. Well, let it get unhard.
Had to bring the tension down there.
See, this is important because it reflects God's image and it releases our potential. And the third thing is this, and I'm going to have Caden come up here. Relationships that culminate in marriage, specifically marriage now, are so important because it reveals God's love to us through us. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Oh, heck no, no. I used to tease Christine every time she'd get a little sassy with me. And thank God. Look, can I tell you something? Me and Christine don't have anything in common except our love for the Lord and our desire to do his will. I would not have picked Christine for myself, and I doubt Christine would have picked me for herself, but because we allowed God to pick us for each other and bring us to each other, I can tell you today, I could not in my best day think of a more perfect helpmate for myself than my wife, Christine. And I don't mean just good, I mean perfect. It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And so even when she gets sassy, I'm thankful because I need a woman strong enough to check me. Because I'm not a man so weak that I can't be checked by a woman. My God, that somebody said. Some of y'all get frustrated when your woman gets sassy because you ain't big enough or strong enough to be able to receive it and say, thanks, suitable helpmate. Thank you, God in heaven, for giving me somebody who not only has the eyes to see my blind spots, but loves me enough to point them out so I ain't walking around in this joker blind, getting taken out by the enemy because I don't see him coming. And when she'd get a little sassy, I'd say, woman, I got Ephesians 5:22 on speed dial. But then she said, don't read the rest of the chapter. See, because here's the amazing thing before I finish reading this. That's really one of the last times God speaks directly to the woman. Everything else is going to go to the man. Because this idea of being the head, which is biblical, it's not about I'm the boss. It's because you bear the weight of the responsibility of not only caring for your wife, but caring for the children that hopefully your marriage can produce. You bear the responsibility. You're the first one in and the last one out. The buck stops with you. Because even though it tells wives to submit to your own husbands, not someone else's husband, and for all y'all social media mavens, not somebody else's wife or some single woman that ain't in no relationship telling you how you ought to be in a relationship. I will throw this chair across this sanctuary. There's nothing more comical to me than someone without kids telling me about parenting. I've got two sides to my hand, and you can catch both sides and both hands. And it's biblical because I believe in the laying on of hands. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 23. And see, now this is where you're sunk, dude. If you want to use that as like I used to, right? Because it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he is himself its savior. Uh-oh, responsibility. Now, as the church submits to Christ, or as wives submit to the husbands, so wives should also submit to their husbands in everything. But here we go. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna fix all your relationship problems right here, right now. How did Jesus love the church? Gave himself up for her. Put your phone down. Tell your golf buddies, not today. When y'all are fighting, even if she's wrong. Jesus didn't wait for his bride, the church, to apologize before he died for her. Some of y'all are waiting for your wife to apologize to you, but my Bible says you lay your life down, you be the bigger person, you go, and even if you don't have anything to apologize, which I think is probably a lie, because even if it isn't in that moment, she has a virtually photographic memory of what you did in March 9th, 13 years ago. But you're not going to apologize. You're going to make peace. Why? Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Don't you men walk around your house just trying to keep the peace. Don't want to upset mom. Happy wife, happy life. No, you're a peacemaker. But you lay your life down for her. Because that's what Jesus did for his bride, the church, us. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. Guys, it's your job to lead your family spiritually. Eve was tricked by the devil when he distorted and twisted and lied about God's word, because Eve was formed after God said, you shall not eat of this tree. Eve was able to be deceived, not because she's the weaker, even though the scriptures do say that, not because she was bad or talking to a snake, but because her husband wasn't man enough to kick a snake away from his wife. But even more than that, he didn't properly wash her with the word. So when the devil came with some crooked, distorted Bible, Eve could have been like, that's not what my husband taught me. I know I'm putting too much on you guys today. That's okay. I just want to change the world. That's all I want to do. But I just want to change the world. I'm sick of watching the world decay because we can't get it right in here. Sanctified her, loved her, cleansed her. Watch this, verse 27. So that he might present the church. Guys, if your wife is unpresentable, maybe it's because you don't make her feel presentable because you never are the one presenting her. You know what presentable means? It means to set her near. It means to commend. It means to provide for. It means to display. I know the world has used a phrase called trophy wife to describe dudes who get, you know, a baddie that may not even love them, but they love their money. And I will help you guys. Having some money will help you find a suitable helpmate. I'm just saying. Deodorant will help you find a suitable helpmate. Brushing your, I could go on, but that's, we should have did that at men's night. We'll get there though. Man, you want peace in your house and productivity and releasing of potential in the earth through your relationships? Fellas, present your wife. Let her be your trophy. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. See, because it's not, relationships aren't about you getting yours, it's about somebody else getting theirs. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but watches this, nourishes it and cherishes it. Now, ladies, you can nourish and cherish your husband, but guys, the responsibility is on you to nourish and cherish your wife. And I'll be the first one to admit I'm not the best at this at the times that I should be. So we all got work to do. Because that's what Jesus does to the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. We heard this in Genesis 2, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 32, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Remember how I said relationships ultimately reveal the image of God? Paul's discussion on marriage, he says, I'm actually talking about Jesus and his bride. Why? Because the world sees how we love within the context of our relationships. He gives love to us and through us. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay his life down for his friend. Guys, your wife should be your most important friend. I do encourage, like, husbands and wives, you shouldn't be each other's best friends. You should have best friends, but you should be each other's most important friend. But we lay our lives down for our wives, the way Jesus laid his life down for us. And so this morning, before we transition, I just want to take a moment. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I'm struggling in my singleness, or I'm struggling in my unmarital relationshipness, or I'm struggling in my marriage, I just want to take a moment and pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, or I just want to pray for you. Because I know it breaks the Father's heart to see his children not in these healthy, life-giving, potential-releasing relationships. So I want to pray for your relationships right now. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you this morning that God, you put us together if we let you. Eve didn't go find Adam. Adam didn't go looking for Eve, but you took Eve from him, made her into what she needed to be for him, and then brought her to him to help prepare him to become everything he needed to be for you. And so, Lord, I pray for all the Adams and the Eves in here right now, Lord God. Whether they're struggling in their singleness, whether they're wrestling with the unhealthiness of a relationship of someone that they do really love, but it might not be reciprocated or whatever the case may be. God, I just pray for them right now that the grace of your Holy Spirit, which removes all condemnation right now, would just come and wash over them right now. They are not lesser than because they're single. They're not bad because they're in an unhealthy relationship, God. I pray for those who are in marriages right now that might be struggling, God. I pray for humility and for a desire not of self-gratification, but of God glorification would come on both of them and say, let's surrender our lives to God once again, or maybe for the first time in our marriage, and say, we're gonna make this work because we want our God to be represented well in the earth. We want our potential to be released in the earth. We want to demonstrate love to one another and receive the love that comes from you. And so, God, I just pray for every relationship status right now that you would help, that you would heal, that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray if that prayer was for you that you received it this morning. But there's also one other thing as I close. If you've never given your life to Jesus, that's the most important relationship. Today's the day. Today's the day to accept him as the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future. Today's the day. So if you're here this morning and you would say, I've never began a true relationship with Jesus by acknowledging that I'm a sinner and that he is a savior, by acknowledging that I am a servant and he is the Lord. If that's you and you say, I want to receive Jesus so that I can have my sins forgiven and so I can be in right relationship with God, if that's you, I just want you to stick up your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus this morning. I want this relationship, because every other relationship is predicated off of this one. If Jesus isn't the center of your relationship, it's going to be out of alignment. It's going to be out of order. And so if you're here and you've never received Jesus, just say, that's me. I want Jesus right now in my life. you say, you know what, I let Jesus in, but I need to really get surrendered to him. And I want you to just say, that's me. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to like rededicate that thing to him. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. If that's you, go ahead. Just say, I want to surrender to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. And even as we close, God, that you would continue to move in our lives through the beauty of relationship. And God, I just pray for relationships. I pray for the right people, God, in each other's lives, for flourishing and to see your image in the earth. In Jesus' name.